Side, no. Okay, everybody, you're very welcome. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. I take it everybody can hear me clearly. Okay. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except for the committee is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind members of the committee of their obligations under the Councillor Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Okay. Have we any apologies? Gallagher and Sharvin.
Yeah, and one for Councillor Robert Burgess, please.
Robert Burgess. Yeah. Councillor Gallagher, Burgess, and Sharvin. Okay. Any declarations of interest? No declarations of interest. Okay. Item number three is the action sheet arising from the SPNR committee meeting held on the 17th of October 2019. I'm going to go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. Okay. Need a proposer and seconder for accuracy. Councillor Murray, Councillor, seconded Councillor Dorn. Okay. Any matters arising? Councillor Murray.
Thanks, Chair. Just on page 2, you'll see the item SPR 123 2019, the lease of lands at the former landfill site in Murray Road, Newton Hamilton. So this item had come up at SPNR in August or September time and was deferred down the line. So in such the time that has passed, there's been quite a few meetings and public consultations. So there's been meetings with the company involved, and there's been meetings and consultations with the community out in Newtown around this. We had a meeting yesterday in Inverary and a meeting a couple of days before with Regen. And I just be happy to propose here that the landfill site at Newtown would be withdrawn from consideration as to be a storage for this company and indeed for any other company until a full remediation project was carried out on the site.
Okay, so just recapping that proposal again.
So I propose that the former landfill site in Newtown is withdrawn as an option for a waste management site at present, and until any other project until a full remediation programme is carried out on the lands at that site.
Okay. We have a seconder, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, I'll second that, but just for clarity that the site is ruled out as an option for waste storage or disposal, and that after the full remediation that doesn't include for this facility. I mean, that has to be, the red line is drawn on that. I mean, for any other use of this land going forward, fair enough. I suppose I'm not going to reiterate the timeline that Barra had said.
Sorry, Councillor Byrne, can you just clarify that again and see, first of all, is that acceptable?
It's a semantics thing.
Right.
I don't want it to be that until a study is carried out and then that it could go back to being looked at as an option for waste storage facility. I think that's ruled out. I mean, any other use going forward, absolutely, but as Barra says, it would come with that caveat.
Okay.
I think we're putting the bed. Yeah, and that's what I agree with. After the remediation programme, I mean, it still rules out what the current proposal
is. I think we need to get clarity on the wording here.
No, I agree with what Barra's saying. It's not clarity on the wording. I just don't want it, that if you don't put in that caveat that after the remedial works on the site, that the site could be used going forward, that then brings a proposal for a waste storage site. That's unacceptable. The line's drawn
for that site being used for that purpose. And for any future purpose, it will be following on to the caveat.
Comments and support, and then we'll clarify the what we're proposing to put to councillors, if you want to clarify your comment, if you want to add your comments to what you're proposing.
Yeah, and we get the clarification at the end. I think it's clear what I'm saying. Yeah, as Councillor Murray said, going back in August, September, this was on the SBNR agenda, and from the start we had said, listen, when it came up that it was unacceptable without having a consultation with the community. We went into the consultation. I had spoke to Regen at their premises because I missed the first meeting with the councillors. We went through the whole presentation, and then all the DEA councillors had spoke to them last Wednesday as well. We did say at that meeting, or come to an agreement, that if Regen wanted to go and look at other alternatives that would actually move away from the new town site, then we would give them the space to do that. That wasn't in any way endorsing that they could look at the new town site as well. It was to go out and look at something else and come back with other options. We had a public meeting then on the Friday night, and we articulated that position, and I think it was clear from the meeting on Friday night that they wanted this proposal to be stopped right now and not to go any further. I suppose for Regen as well, you know, it's not fair to, you know, drag something down for weeks or months that's simply not going to happen, and it was clear on the Friday night that it wasn't going to happen. So we had a meeting then with the party leaders yesterday, and said, you know, that coming to the SBNR meeting that we would remove it from the agenda, and I made a promise on Friday night to the people of Newtown that I would back a proposal if Barra took a proposal for this action, that I would back it and remove it from it, and I think it's only right that we do that right now. I do want to say, and you know, thank the people from Newtown for coming up. Unlike some other councillors, they didn't know they were coming. So people are passionate about this issue, and they wanted clarity on it. And I think it's very clear. It was clear on Friday night. Three parties were there representing the views of the people. Everybody was singing from the same hymn sheet. Maybe it didn't come across as clear from me, and maybe that's the lesson I'm playing devil's advocate in some of the information. But from August, on the record, my position has been crystal clear on this, and I think today is the time to take it off the table. So I'm happy to second Barra's proposal and just get clarity on the warden. I don't want, after remedial work that is taking place in the future, that this site could be then looked at again for this facility, because I think that's clear from the public that
not the right proposal. We'll go to Doreena then for the clarity of the proposal, and if you can agree, Barra's, this.
Yes, this is Catherine. I think it was maybe the word untel was thrown maybe, but are we proposing that the landfill at Newton Hamilton, the land at the former landfill site Newton Hamilton is withdrawn as an option as a waste management facility, as a full remediation has not been carried out on that site? Full stop, so it's withdrawn. So no?
It's not because as a remedial, you know, is carried out. Until, as Barra says, then we could look at future plans for that site, or future lease of that site, that shouldn't be an option until remedial work has been carried out. But I don't think, you know, none of us are sitting here saying that if the remedial work's carried out on that site, then we can invite Regen back in. I mean, that's dead and buried at this point. So, but I think Barra's right. In the consultation with the public, a number of concerns were raised about, you know, the cleanup that's needed on that site, and I know they were saying that if the site was capped, that would, you know, address the issue. But I think going forward, whatever lease of that site or potential use for that site, it shouldn't be coming back to SBNR until this work is carried out. But in that, when it does come back to SBNR, it can't be for a waste storage or management facility. The public have firmly put their point towards us, and we'll not be backing it of that
site. Okay, Councillor Murray.
Yeah, just. As Pete's referring to, without this Regen proposal, there was already a campaign about this ground, you know, about the toxic nature of a certain section of that ground. So, as well as stopping this, we're saying that there needs to be a remediation scheme as well, that there needs to be something done on that ground. So, yeah, I'm happy enough for that.
So, we'll just get clarity on the wording here, just
thank
for the record.
Just make sure you're happy with this, Councillor. So, we're saying that the land at the former landfill site at Newton Hamilton, the option of a waste management facility is withdrawn. Full stop. Any future consideration of this site can only be considered once the full remediation works has been carried out on the site. Is that captured?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Byrne. Okay, thank you.
Any more items from the action sheet? Any more matters arising?
Thanks. So just to give you an update on Kilkeel Town Hall, we have now received an expression of interest from the Kilkeel Development Association. They've met with local Mourns councillors and are keen to present proposals to councillors. So if you're content, I'd follow that up with them and arrange a suitable meeting for the Development Association to speak to councillors about their proposals for that site.
Yes, Mr. Gorn.
Yes, Chair, we're at that meeting with myself, and it's very good, so we're happy the proposals are put forward, so we look forward to meeting with them.
That's okay. So you Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, just on that as well, totally support it. We give a 4-week window for them to come back, but can we make sure that that's extended coming to the full council so that we can explore this option, because it was only 4 weeks for an expression to get in.
We've received their expression of interest.
That time frame is just, we're going ahead now and we can look at this expression.
Yeah, well, they haven't given us a lot of detail yet, so we'll set up a suitable mechanism for them.
Longer than 4 weeks for that, then?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. The timing is dictated by ourselves now, really. Yeah.
So whenever we have the ideal mechanism through which to take their presentation, you work through that, won't you?
Yeah, I'll take that forward.
Okay, so that's okay. Any more items? Any more matters arising from the action sheet? No? Happy to move on? Okay. Item number 4 is the Draft Irish Language Strategy 2020 to 2023. New proposer and seconder for this. Regina's going to speak on it. Regina?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Building upon our Irish Language Strategy 2017-19, Council has now developed a draft Irish Language Strategy for the period 20-23, which sets out how the Council will continue to increase the use of Irish language within its functions, facilitate the use of Irish language when communicating with the public and relevant stakeholders, and promote and encourage the development of Irish language across the Council area. There's two strategic objectives within the Irish Language Strategy. The first one is to facilitate, enable and encourage development of Irish language within council and the district. That's very much an internal focus, focusing on the language. And the second one is to effectively engage with the Irish language community to strengthen community capacity, encourage collaboration, cooperation and identify appropriate funding opportunities. Again, it's very much external focused. We've developed an associated action plan to deliver on the two objectives, and they look at the positive actions, performance measures, outcomes, responsibility and time frames. So, and they obviously complement the Council's corporate plan and bilingualism policy. The timeline, in terms of following consideration at tonight's meeting of the strategy and hopefully approval at the April-December's monthly meeting, we will undertake a 12-week public consultation, and then the finalised Irish Language Strategy will be tabled for consideration, we're hoping in March 2020 at this committee, and for adoption by Council hopefully by April 2021. So the recommendation, Mr Chairman, is that Council's SPR committee is asked to consider the draft Irish Language Strategy 2020-23 and agreement for it to proceed to public consultation.
Okay, Councillor Murray.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thanks, Regina, for that comprehensive overview. Chair, you'll know that we have the Irish Language Strategy Cross-Party Implementation Working Group, or whatever it's called. There's a whole heap of words in it, but we've met twice in the last month about this. It was brought before the working group. We had discussion around it. It was, and then we met yesterday, or the day before, to finalise and to go through it. I think all parties on the cross-party working group are very proud of the strategy. We are very proud of the first strategy that came out. Was it 16 till 19? And if we look at how the council has gone about promoting the Irish language in a sensitive and in as realistic way as possible, we've given fantastic opportunities to both young people and older people, not children, to avail of Irish language courses through different schemes, through bursary schemes and through grant schemes. I just want to point out the strategic objectives of this Irish language strategy, which we discussed at the last SPNR meeting as well. Mm-hmm. And it's worth just always remembering there's two objectives, and without me reading it out, the way that we're referring to them in the working group is that the objective one is looking at ourselves as a council and how we promote the Irish language and making sure that we're doing things right within it. But objective two is looking outward, out of the council, to engage with communities that are using the Irish language, and even more importantly to those communities that are not engaged with the Irish language at present, and that will set a real challenge for ourselves in the next 3 and 4 years to bring as many communities not involved with the Irish language on board with this as possible. And I'm delighted to propose this, okay. and I hope that other councillors will be happy enough with it.
Okay, do we have a seconder? Seconder, Councillor Dorn.
Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. Just a couple of questions to the officer. We had our last strategy there from, I think, 16 to 19 in relation to it. How many people are coming in to our buildings and stuff and using the Irish language when they do come in? Because I actually think that this council, and I know we'll be shut down for this, is putting too much emphasis on the Irish language. So they are. And the other thing is, has there been any costings to this? What's this going to cost to run out over the four year period of this term of council? Because I'm concerned that year in, year out, there's more and more money going in to the Irish language and that. So is there many using it, and what's the cost of this? Now, I have to say that I will be voting against it, so will tonight.
Okay. Yes, Regina, if you could respond to that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In relation, Councillor, to your first question, the number of people using the Irish language in the community, I'm not in a position tonight, I apologise, to actually give you statistics. I don't have them with me. But we do get people who do certainly request services through the medium of Irish. We do get people who write in and communicate with us in various ways through the medium of Irish. A lot of the, particularly the external community work that we would do, those community groups under the second strategic objective that we're talking about here tonight, they would also communicate through Irish. So I'm sorry, I can't give you an actual figure, but there are quite a number that would actually use it across the board. In terms of costings, the way that the overall budget is broken down is obviously I've got staff costs. I've got a very small amount of money for example, things like translations, etc. We also then have the two other major parts of the budget relate to the Irish Language Bursary Scheme and the financial call that we do have as well. And again, that's all very visible through the whole discussions that you'll be having around the rates process. You know, the budgets are there for you to see.
Okay, Councillor Walker.
Just to say, in relation to the call, we didn't have a problem with the call, you know, going out for that. You know, the call that's out at the minute, I have to say we don't have a problem with that call, you know.
Okay, Councillor Lewis.
Okay, sure, thank you. Look, it'll come as no surprise that I'm not going to vote to support this strategy, but with the greatest of respect, and I am wanting to be respectful. I think that we're in danger here of losing the run of herself here, that we seem to be continually looking more and more and more funding pumped in to this, and it's in danger of just becoming a vanity project with as much Irish as we can possibly get. We've got it on our signs and leisure centres, road signs and council documents. Look, it'll come as no surprise that the unionist people feel that this is being used in a political way, and I'm sort of wanting to ask firstly,
why there's no equality impact assessment has been done here on this, and secondly, has there been any work at all undertaken to establish how many people actually speak Irish within our district? And I'll say all that, but the caution that it's with the greatest of respect to those groups that do use it and do want to see it funded. I have no problem with it being funded, but I just don't see how we should continually increase funding to it and continually increase activities to it.
Okay, Councillor Murray.
Yeah, it's not that I'm trying to answer any of the questions. I just wanted to put in the point that, you know, we had these conversations 4 and 5 years ago about an Irish language strategy, but dealing with this in a strategic fashion that we've brought before SPNR, that we've brought before a full council. It's not a vanity project, as anyone would say. It's about creating space for people who work and who live in the Irish language to be able to benefit from it. You're talking about quantifying it into the amount of people who speak it. Like, we'll be able to gather that information up at some stage. At the very latest, in the next census figures, you'll be able to get a picture of how many people declare themselves as Irish speakers. But certainly for one of the schemes, it was 46% oversubscribed. So there's 146%. That's the amount of money they were looking. There's 46%, again, that we weren't able to fund. And that might give you just some sort of knowledge. It's not that any of the councillors who sit on the cross-party working group are looking for money for nothing. It's not for nothing. It's being done in a very strategic way. I'd say everything's honest and open and brought before this committee and that. And some of the comments are just a wee bit disappointing. And just again, this has been equality proofed. This is equality and good relations implications to this here, as always. And just to go back to the strategic objectives with it, it's to engage with the unionist community in particular to try and open the doors to show the people from the unionist persuasion that the language belongs to them too. It's not my language, it's not Sinn Féin's language, it's not the SNP's language or the Alliance. It belongs to everybody in this district, and that's the message that we've set out from day one. Cormorys.
Okay, just on that point of the 146% I have seen within the DAs that I represent, with the neighbourhood renewal areas and some of the most deprived areas, the value that some of the young people have got out of the bursary scheme, particularly for the Gaeltacht, and I make no apologies and been a strong advocate for that because I see the true benefits that they get from it, expanding their understanding and learning of the language and the cultural and community engagement they get as a result of that. And some of them, in some cases, it's the first time they've ever got away from home on a bit of a break from some of the stresses and strains they have in life, and to do that in an Irish language medium, I think is an additional bonus. And I have seen it firsthand, some of the disappointments there's been with people who've applied for the bursary and didn't get it. And I know that it's something that a lot of those who want to speak the Irish language, particularly young people, value greatly. And I see the merits in the scheme, and I also see the need for us to reach out and make this a language that the whole community can. The whole community can enjoy and have ownership of, and I point to the recent couple of lectures that there's been from Linda Irvine in the district recently, and her attitude to the language, I think, has to be applauded. Councillor Byrne.
You took my notes.
Did I? Great minds think alike, as they say. I know the rest.
Money medicine. No, just a few of the points made totally in support of it, in support of the strategy of 2023. I do get lobbied hard by people, one version in particular, for increased services when you come into the council in the Irish language. We get it all the time. I get emails from them all the time saying when they go in they want to be able to converse in Irish and get the information through the website in Irish. And you know that's the case, Regina. It is a bit of a mouthful, the Irish Language Strategy Cross-Party Working Group, whoever came up with that one. I mean, it needs to be shortened, but I suppose that's the group that needs to have all parties collaborating on it. We do have it sort of as a blockage when you're looking at our government being down for 3 years, and we can, you know, throw and use it as a political bubble in the Irish Language Act. But I certainly, and there is points throughout the north where I do look at it and say, listen, that is being politicised. But it isn't in this council chamber. I've been in the chamber 4 years, and I can safely say that it is not used as a political football here. And I fully agree with the sentiment of Councillor O'Murray there. We had a meeting about 18 months ago where we were learning phrases in Irish. And I think Harry Harvey went to it for the DUP. Just we had some laugh. It was absolutely brilliant. And learning where, you know, place names came from and going back into the history. And I mean, when you break down the barriers, I know Linda Evering's doing that as she travels around the country. And you break down where it come from and how town names are, you know, from the old Irish name. I mean, it's very, very informative. I only had a wee bit of Irish. Well, I don't have GCSE, but it's still only a wee bit. I can tell you, I meet my friends, go to the cinema and they get an ice cream, like everybody else for GCSE. But that's because we lacked the opportunities to learn it in school. I was one of the ones, just by selection of toss of coin and heads and tails, you go to one piece, seven class or the other. I didn't get Miss Frances Brannigan, the late Miss Frances Brannigan, who's a great advocate, who was a great advocate for the Irish language in Cross Midland. And we got an hour every Tuesday. And I think now, because I'm embarrassed teachers in the Irish school in Cross Midland, the increase in the amount of people using it is enormous, absolutely enormous. I mean, I tutor maths and I tutor from P5 up. And a lot of the students come to me are all from the Irish school. And I'm amazed by the opportunities that they had, and I would love to have that opportunity. So I do. I also get lobbied by my neighbour, who thinks there's not enough money in the pot, who goes to the Gaeltacht every summer, her daughter. And she's saying, when people are crying out for it, and you could spend it, why not increase the budget? So it depends. If you go into them parts of the community, you will see there's a great need for it. And I think the less, when we depoliticise it, I think it's something that we can all embrace. I know we're a long way off that, but in the Utopian Society, it's something that we can all embrace. So, fully behind this and back the strategy, and would like to see even the bursary itself in the future be increased, because that shows a success. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Councillor. Sorry, Councillor Kenley. Chair, thank you. I largely concur with the points raised by Councillor Bourne. I really do despair, Chair, at every time this subject comes up, it's another battle in the cultural war, and doesn't need to be so. I mean, in my lifetime, I'm heavily involved with many aspects of the GAA in this county, and I've never ever seen such a resurgence or popularity in the desire, particularly of young people, to learn Irish and to speak Irish. And I'll tell you, I had a couple of focal years ago, and I actually do be ashamed when I be in the company now of my own children, to hear them conversing or Gaeilge fluently. I feel so inadequate. And I would dare say, Chairman, there's not 10% of the councillors in this chamber could converse or Gaeilge, never mind be fluent in it. And that's a reflection of society in which we all grew up in. But I really do despair that such a beautiful language and the way it is spoken and the young people and the desire that there is out there for to learn it, the popularity has never been as great to reach those goals. And you know what the common denominator is, Chairman, I find, for a lot of these young people? They haven't got a notion about the political connotations, and the simple reason is that there is none. So I despair, I really do despair, that this is through in as some sort of game to be played, particularly between the biggest party in nationalism and the biggest party in unionism, when that should not be the case. Because I go back to my own children, who I say quite happily can converse, and it shames me when I'm in their company to hear them talking. But you know what?
they haven't got a clue who Sinn Féin are. They haven't got a clue who the DUP are. And that is the way it should be in any normal society. So I will be supporting the recommendation, and I know this is for the next 4 years, but it really annoys me that things like this cannot sail through in this chamber without it being turned into something controversial that should not be attached to it. I think I'll stop there, Chair. Thanks.
Okay, Councillor Hammond.
I just want to record my disappointment that it's being described as a vanity project. I am heavily involved in the Irish language community in my own DEA. My children are fluent, my husband's fluent, I sit on committees, and it is a thriving community within my own DEA and throughout the district. There's many Knee School, Bun School, the Man School in Newry and in Castle Wellen. The people that I deal with, and I am like the part of the community, are from all different backgrounds. And it's not an orange and green issue. It's not anything to do with politics. They just enjoy the language. And there's proven benefits with bilingualism and being educated bilingually. And personally, that's why I made that choice for my children. And it shouldn't be a political football end off.
Okay. Well, we obviously don't have agreement on it, so we have a proposal in second.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just one quick point.
Yes, Councillor.
Never once... Tonight when I spoke, I said I was opposed to the Irish language. I asked for costings in that and how many spoke it. That's what I was asking. And that I said, yes, I wouldn't be voting for it. I didn't criticise it, so I didn't. Tonight I asked for figures in that. That is different than coming out and criticising the Irish language, so it is. You know, at the end of the day, I'm entitled to my views and that, and asked for a breakdown figures, because my belief is, year in, year out, we're giving it more money and more money and more money. So we are. And that's why I wanted the costings in that for it. I didn't say they shouldn't be getting anything. I asked for costings in that. But every time when a unionist questions something like it, we're bigots, we're sectarian, so we are in relation to it. Never once did I say I was opposed to it. So I didn't.
Okay, Councillor Walker. Councillor Lewis.
Yeah, no, look, I'm just wanting to say the same, that I don't sit here and say things just for the goodness of my health, or just to raise a cheap statement into the press. If I speak up and say something and try to criticise something, it's because that there's been people have come to me and passed on those concerns, and I think just being realistic, there is concerns amongst the unionist community and the people that I represent about the scale of the council's Irish language policy and Irish language strategy. I fully support anybody or any group that wants to speak it or obtain funding for it. That's up to them. All I'm simply asking for is the costings and figures of how many people actually rely on it as a language within the district. If they want to speak it, they want to hold grips or obtain funding, that's fine. I've nothing wrong with that.
Okay, well, maybe Regina will deal with the issues raised during that debate.
Mr. Chairman, just the two questions outstanding. The first one was from the Councillor, was this equality proof rule screened? Yes, it was. It has been equality proofed, and it has been rural proofed as well too, and it's not anticipated that the draft Irish language strategy will have a differential impact for people living in rural areas, or that it should not be subjected to a quality impact assessment. In terms of the figures, as I said, I don't have the figures obviously with me tonight. I don't have the figures. However, the likes of the leading Irish language bodies like Fáilte na Gaeilge, etc., they would have figures relating to the latest figures relating to Irish language speakers within the area, so that information would be available.
Okay. Well, we have a proposer and a seconder for this proposal. We don't appear to have agreement on it, so can we have a show of hands? Those in favour? And those against? 2. 9 for, 2 against. Carried. Okay, I'll move on to item number 5. Item number 5 is the special responsibility allowances. I need a proposer and seconder for that. Dermot's going to deal with this one.
Sure. Councillors, we have still 2 outstanding special responsibility allowances yet to be allocated. You'll see at 2.1 how these have arisen. One is due to Councillor Clark holding a position of responsibility in 2 committees. He's not allowed to have, no councillor's allowed to actually be remunerated twice for a special responsibility position. And the second one is arising due to the fact that there was previously one page of the Alliance Independent Party sitting at the Party Representatives Forum. So this matter, as in previous years, has been discussed by the Party Representatives meeting. In previous years, when this has arisen, the councillors you have opted to share these remaining responsibility allowances out in one manner or another. And so the coming forward from party reps, you'll see at 3.1, is a suggested recommendation that the outstanding SRA be allocated among those other positions which already receive SRA payment. And if it is the committee's, if the committee is minded to approve that tonight, that will of course be backdated to May, to the when those responsibilities were taken up by councillors. Happy to take any questions.
Councillor Byrne,
just to declare a conflict of interest on this. Got to do it at the start.
Okay. Do we have a proposer and seconder? Any more comments? First of all, proposer and seconder. Councillor Doran. Thank you, Councillor Walker. Okay. Item number 6 is an item for noting, and it's the mid-year assessment of Director of Business Plans 2019 to 2020.
Yeah, Councillors, just to say, you have in front of you, these are going through all of the committees this month, so it's a mid-year look at how the different directorates are performing against their business plan targets for the year. In front of you tonight, then, is the business plan relating to the Chief Executive Department and to my own department, the Corporate Services Department. You'll see, looking through them, that we, in both respects, there are lots of targets either achieved or on track to be achieved. Were there any issues or delays, explanations are given, and we're asking you to note both of these tonight. Of course, happy to take any questions or comments.
Any comments? Are you happy to note? Duly noted. Okay, item number 7 is the community planning statement of progress. Again, for noting, Johnny, you want to outline that for us?
Yeah, Chair, thank you. Just very, very quickly, Chair. The purpose of this report is to provide you as committee members with a copy of the public version, which is called the Living Well Together Statement of Progress. As a little bit of background, this is a statutory requirement whereby the partnership board and the statutory partners need to monitor progress against the plan objectives and then to publish a statement every 2 years. So this is the first one that the Community Planning Partnership has done since it came together 2 years ago. I think the key issue that I'd like to share with the members here is that despite community planning in this part of the world being very much in its infancy, the Partnership Board in our district has made considerable progress concerning a number of shared priorities and indeed the development and subsequent implementation of shared projects, some of which we have been successful in securing partner funding. So, Chair, I don't propose to go through this now in great detail, but examples include, for example, an asset mapping project where we're now actually identifying surplus land and property assets belonging to the public sector. That is critically important to then identifying land for social housing need, particularly in some of our urban areas. So you can see the link with some of members' own priorities there. We have also been successful in introducing a series of pilot projects called participatory budgeting. And, you know, we've had some really good positive feedback from our traditional hard-to-reach groups, allowing them access and a say in how public money, albeit low levels, is spent in their areas. We also have successfully established with a number of statutory partners a partnership whereby there's a better joined-up and coordinated referral and then the intervention of statutory agencies with regards to vulnerable individuals and their families. And then finally, you may already be aware of this, Chair, there's a project currently being initiated between the two health trusts and our leisure department which will bring better coordination of GP referrals for at-risk patients for mental health and improve diabetes to use council leisure facilities. Chair, you have in your pack essentially an electronic version of this public document. At the back of it, it gives a summary of our progress towards achieving some of the indicators and measures of success. So, then, Chair, just for noting, but happy to take any comments or questions.
Any comments? Questions? Happy to note. Judy noted. Thanks, Johnny. Item number 8 then on the agenda is the Treasury Management Mid-Year Report 2019-2020. Again, for noting, Andrina's going to deal with that.
Yeah, members, in front of you tonight is that mid-year report of our Treasury Management position. We're required to bring this to you twice annually, and you'll see this gives you an update on our borrowing and investment activities of this Council. Key issue to note then, that is at the halfway point in the year, the Council has borrowings of $77.3 million, short-term investments of $1.6 million. So you'll see there is an increase in net debt of $7 million since the financial year end of the 31st of March. This is timely, councillors, as we enter into the rate setting process, and we touched on some of the issues around this at our meeting yesterday. Obviously, there's a lot of detail in that report. Happy to take any questions or comments, and we're asking you to note that tonight.
Any comments, any questions? Happy to note. Okay. Item number 9, again, is for noting, is the draft minutes of the Community Planning Strategic Partnership Board, 22nd of October 2019. Are we happy to note? Okay, duly noted. Item number 10 is the City Centre Regeneration Programme, Transportation and Car Parking. I believe Adrian's going to speak to us on that one. Again, this is for noting.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So this report notes an emerging critical issue of transportation and car parking within the new city core, related primarily to the CCR scheme, our own city centre regen scheme, but also its impact as a catalyst on wider development that will be taking place within the new city core. I think over the last 6 to 9 months, there's been a significant spike in the development activity. We have estimated a total of 12 projects with an estimated value of circa $128 million, and that is just within the new city core and just directly neighbouring it. Whilst that is a extremely positive for the city, it is going to require effective planning by the council in order to enable delivery. Over the past couple of years, there's been a number of transportation and car parking studies done within the city core, looking at the use of car parking, etc. And we consider it's now time to build on those studies and look at two things really: a transportation and car parking strategy that accounts for the level of proposed development over the 0 to 5 year period, and we'll look at the current capacity configuration of car parking and road infrastructure against the emerging needs for increased vehicle movements and parking. So this is a two-strand study at the moment. We are working with the Department for Communities, also engaging specialist technical and advisory expertise from the Strategic Investment Board. We are looking at consultancy brief for both these strands, for both the transportation and car parking strategy, and then a following on development plan. Separately, DFC are seeking to engage DFI Roads with the intent of securing an updated traffic model for Newry, and once they've completed that model, that can form the basis against which we can look at these two strands of car parking and further developments. DFI Roads are hopeful of completing that model by April of next year. In terms of the strands that will emerge from that, transportation and car parking is proposed that we will deal with that internally via the council's consultancy framework. And so we'd scope out and then come back to this committee to seek approval for appointment and progression of that study. And DFC have agreed to look at the development plan aspect of that strategy and will engage their consultancy framework provider, who happens to be Amy. So this report is primarily for noting, and the intent is in the future we'll return with sort of further detail on how we are going to progress both studies.
Okay, Councillor Tinley.
Chairman, a blame on the Galvin horse could see that this is a time bomb that's waiting to go off here in Newry City Centre. Adrian, after 3 o'clock on any weekday morning, every arterial route in the Newry is badly backlogged, and those are primarily all people that are going in to find an all-day parking spot in Newry. So we don't want to be sitting here in 10 years' time saying, oh, we didn't do our homework there, we got this wrong. And when I brought it up, whenever we were waving through the preferred site option in relation to the Civic Centre, I get scolded from the chairman for raising the issue in relation to parking. Because I could see it. And if I could see it, I'm quite sure that the people in the in DFC or DFA, sorry, would look at these things much more in depth than I would. But there's no point in having tens and tens of millions of pounds about to be invested in Newry to then hit a blank wall a few years down the road because this forward thinking was not given proper due consideration and a solution found. We can't, you know, we just can't trundle along here and hope something turns up in relation to parking. And I think the whole idea of it parking right out of the city and all, that's not the way our people live. That's just the reality. People's not going to park on the perimeter of Newry and jump on a bus to get into Newry, or trams, or whatever the case may be in the next decades to come, Chairman. So I'm glad that these concerns have been raised now, and I firmly believe that these concerns need to be acted upon before there's any multi-million pound developments even get underway. Thank you, Chairman. Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks for the word.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just on the previous speaker's comments, he was one of the ones that scolded when he had said about the... Yeah, so I'm just throwing it in there for the minute. So it was the chair and myself that had scolded the other. I definitely am not, I suppose the word you used was churning along, and none of us in the SCLP are churning along with this, and we fully understood the difficulties with transport by putting the Civic Centre where it is. And I know we're going off on a tangent here, but it all is part of the bigger picture. The transport network, the facilities for parking as well. We didn't go into this blindly. I did make comments through all the consultation that we need to look at where Newry needs to go as a city. Do we seriously want to keep going along where we can park our car at the door of wherever we want to go in? Or do we want to build an inviting city for people to come and visit? You have the same with the, you know, when the theatre complex is finished, and maybe all the outside space around the new Civic Centre and Upper and Hill Street and Cafe Culture and the whole lot, you're not going to be able to park right exactly where you want to go. And I'd rather see that. I'd rather see a thriving city with a nighttime economy that's buzzing when people are moving about on foot after work than being able to just drive in and park your car where you want to go. So I think we do need to look at it in hand with the development that's going into the city centre, because we're spending this council term rebuilding Newry, as I cheekily said to the new chief executive. It might be very hard for us to sell, but if councillor in South Armagh can see the benefit of it, I'm sure it's easier for councillors in around the city of Newry to see the benefit of it. This is a strategy that has been developed hand in hand with that. There will be a need for parking on the periphery of the city, park and ride. That's just the way the world is going, you know, as the city's growing and getting busier. And it'll be mixed with some short-term parking inside the city. I think, you know, the 5 to 10 years, we should have the Southern Relief Road in there. It might be a wee bit ambitious. I'd like to see it in 5 to 10 years. And that will allay some of the traffic that's... A lot of the traffic that's coming through the city and lorries and stuff like that there with
expansion of Warrenpound Port, and that will have to come in for, you know, DFI is doing a study on the transport model, and that will change it significantly, so it will have to be future-proof, this study. But it is a mix of short-term parking inside the city that doesn't clog it up, because nobody wants, and businesses don't want, people coming in and parking inside the city and then going off on their daily business, whether it's Belfast or Dublin, and blocking up the parking spaces here, and long-term parking on the outside. And it might be uncomfortable for people to change, but that change is afoot if we want to seriously build a vibrant city here. So we can't have our cake and eat it. I did talk with the model in Liverpool and what they'd done around the very barren docklands. And if you go down around it now, yes, you can park in Liverpool 1 in the big multi-story car park, but you'll not be able to park in and around where it's all footfall down there. And I think it's brilliant. It creates a huge buzz around that part of Liverpool that was barren before. So you have to ask the councillors what we want, and then put this strategy hand in hand with the development and money that's going into the Newry City Centre regeneration. And I think we can come out the other end in 5 to 10 years if the Southern Loop is built and we have the regeneration of the city and new parking structure with something that we can be proud of and to say that we back that as councillors. So it is going to be difficult. There's going to be difficult times ahead, but I think this is the right direction and this is going hand in hand. This is not a strategy, and I'll finish this, coming in after we've picked the site of a civic centre and realised, oh gosh, how are we going to park? We knew that beforehand. It was one of the cons of the site. You know, it met most criteria for us as the SDLP to back the site, but we did see issues with it and we flagged it up, and I think doing this strategy really will allay some of them fears, but it means change.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Byrne. Just maybe to follow on that, you know, and to emphasise the fact that, you know, this strategy was always going to be part of how we planned and devised how we were going to deliver these multi-billion pound projects for Newry, not only Newry but for the whole district. And it is vitally important that regardless of what had happened in between times when the Southern Relief Road was being force muted, the implications for the traffic management of the whole city would have to be taken on board. And I am aware, for example, a simple thing that has been discussed by DFI Roads at the moment would be, for example, one of the most cluttered areas of the city, which is the Trevor Hill roundabout at the courthouse. And I know that there, when I was looking to get the area retarred, they were meeting to me that they were going to have that area all with traffic lighting sequencing in the future plan as part of the transportation strategy. So there has been ongoing thinking for a number of years in how we deal with congestion in Newry. Obviously, the multi-million pound investments that are coming in are going to have an impact on that in relation to hopefully bringing additional footfall into the city, either at night time or during the day. And we have to plan for the parking requirements that are there and also the transportation links in and out of the city. But again, to reiterate, because we're born highlighted, we did raise those concerns. We were talking to Marie, the chief executive at the time, in relation to how we were going to deal with this, and we were led to believe that this strategy would run hand in hand with it, and I think this is a confirmation of that tonight. And we didn't go blindly into any project without having that question answered when we raised it at the time. So are we happy to note any more comments? Okay, happy to note, Julie. Noted. The next items are deemed to be restricted by paragraph 3 of part 1, schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, BNI 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person. The public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. Can I have a opposing secretary to go into committee? Councillor Murray. Councillor Harrell. And during committee?
So, during committee, in the following items were agreed. Item 11, car park at My Village, and a proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor O'Murray. It was agreed to proceed with the Northern Ireland Housing Executive proposal and terms in order to regularise the use of the area marked in the officer's report as a car park to service the playing field and the playground area. Item 12, sale of land at Newry Market, and the proposal of Councillor Dorn, seconded by Councillor Tinley. It was agreed to accept the offer made in respect to the land at Newry Market marked in the officer's report, subject to contract and completion of legal formalities, and further subject to each party being responsible for their own legal costs. Item 13, it was agreed to note the action sheet of the Efficiencies Working Group of the 21st of October 2019. And item 14, it was agreed to note the management accounts for the six-month period to the 30th of September 2019.
Okay, everybody. Thank you very much for attending tonight and safe home.